Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To begin with, the prophet Isaiah declared, "But when I looked, there was no one, and there is no counselor among them who, if I ask, can give an answer. Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are wind and emptiness." Isaiah 41:28. The prophet there is rebuking the leadership of Israel, the king, his administration, the priests, the prophets, particularly because they were blinded by their own hubris. In the previous verses, he challenges the critics to declare what is to come in the future and to declare what is the meaning of everything that has happened in the past. Isaiah 41:23, "Declare the things that are going to come afterwards, that we may know you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together." Now, the prophet is saying this in sarcasm. The fact is that they are not gods, and they should not be feared. Instead, they should be questioned, rebuked, even mocked, but certainly not feared. Verse 24, "Behold, you are of no account, and your works amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination." Well, that pretty much sums up the politicians and the pundits of our day. And that's why we need to get our understanding from God's word. Let's be very wary of the voices in our culture, because prevalent views and opinions are coming from spiritually dark minds. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn or light." Well, speaking of people who have no light, over the weekend before Christmas, the media was in a frenzy over Christianity Today putting out a piece by Mark Galli, the chief editor, entitled, "Trump Should Be Removed from Office." Subtitle, "It's Time to Say What We Said 20 Years Ago When a President's Character Was Revealed for What It Was." So here is a major evangelical Christian publication, one started by Billy Graham, siding with the Democrats in the impeachment process. And all of the left-leaning media jumped on the story as another means of besmirching the president. The president has 80% support from evangelicals, and the leftist media would love to drive a wedge between the president and his evangelical base. But for a long time, Christians have known that the magazine Christianity Today leans toward the left. And for whatever reason, this magazine is sent to me for free. I would never pay for it. And I don't specifically read any of the articles, except if I find something that's a good example of left-leaning theological thinking. Now, it's not that the magazine directly denies the fundamentals of the faith, but all of the articles have a less than biblical outlook, slant, more humanistic than biblical. It's more about the business of doing Christian religion than biblical Christianity. Just like your typical Christian self-help books that mix a few Bible verses in with modern psychology. However, from what I've read online, quite a few of the articles in Christianity Today have espoused direct Christian heresy. So Christianity Today is affectionately called in Christian circles Christianity Astray. And after the pro-impeachment piece, 180 evangelical leaders signed a letter condemning Christianity Today's partisanship. Quote, "The editorial you published, without any meaningful and immediate regard for dissenting points of view, not only supported the entirely partisan, legally dubious, and politically motivated impeachment, but went even further, calling for Donald Trump not to be elected again in 2020, when he certainly survives impeachment. Your editorial offensively questioned the spiritual integrity and Christian witness of tens of millions of believers who who take seriously their civic and moral obligations. Patriotic Bible-believing Christians are grateful that Trump has sought our advice to advance policies, that he's protected the unborn, he's promoted religious freedom, and he's reformed our criminal justice system. Franklin Graham said in an interview, even though his father founded Christianity Today, Billy Graham disassociated himself from Christianity Today years ago. Quote from Franklin Graham, "My father knew Donald Trump, believed in Donald Trump, and in the last election, he voted for Donald Trump. And if you were here today, I'm sure he would tell you that himself. My father would have been disappointed in Christianity Today. And it's unfathomable Christianity Today would side with Democrats in a totally partisan attack on Trump." And that's a very true statement. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, from a totally objective point of view, the whole impeachment movement is obviously politically motivated. Now, the basis for the impeachment, again, is Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president, and it can only be misconstrued as an illegal act by those who have a bias against the president. The wording alone in the phone call is not criminal. It's like when someone asks you, "How was your day?" Now, if you think this person is trying to fish for information for some devious purpose, you're going to take those words as having a certain agenda. But the words themselves, "How are you doing?" are innocent. In the Christianity Today's editorial calling for Trump's impeachment, Mark Galley writes, "But the facts in this instance are unambiguous. The president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. That is not only a violation of the Constitution, more importantly, it is profoundly immoral." Unquote. I didn't hear in Trump's phone call to the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, a request to harass anyone or discredit anyone. If you examine the phone call carefully, every accusation against the president comes from reading into the phone call what's not there, assuming motives, which is one of the great sins condemned in Christendom. The phone call wasn't some ploy to get dirt on Joe Biden for political purposes. That's all speculation. That's all reading into the motives of the president. But if you don't like the president, all you will hear in your head is evil motives. Trump's Attorney General Giuliani was investigating the whole Russian collusion hoax in order to defend President Trump. The hoax had some roots in the Ukraine, and that's what the president was questioning. And Hunter Biden, the son of Joe Biden, was being paid $50,000 a month to be on the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian gas company. He was paid more than other board members. He knew nothing about the industry. He didn't speak Ukrainian. He didn't attend any of the board meetings, and he offered them no benefit. Then his father, Joe Biden, brags that he withheld U.S. aid money from the Ukraine until they fired the Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating the corruption in this Ukrainian gas company. In any normal world, the media story would be about Biden's corruption. But instead, it's about how awful it was for the president's attorney general to investigate the corruption. Exactly why does President Trump become evil for investigating Democrat corruption? And in the words of Trump, Trump's phone call to the Ukrainian president was a perfect phone call. In a letter to Nancy Pelosi after the impeachment vote, Trump wrote the following: "I said to President Zelensky, I would like you to do us a favor because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I said, do us a favor, not me and our country, not a campaign. Then I mentioned the Attorney General of the United States. Every time I talk with a foreign leader, I put America's interests first, just as I did with President Zelensky. You are turning a political disagreement between two branches of government into an impeachable offense. It is no more legitimate than the executive branch charging members of Congress with crimes for the lawful exercise of legislative power. You know full well that Vice President Biden used his office and $1 billion of U.S. aid money to coerce Ukraine into firing the prosecutor who was digging into the company paying his son millions of dollars. So, Trump wrote this letter for the historic record. CNN responded with an article about this letter entitled, "Trump's Letter to Pelosi Isn't Sick, It's Evil." And that becomes another example of how people see what they want to see based on their personal ideological positions. I did a program about this whole Ukraine scandal back in October. It was called Ukrainegate, the power of ideological bias. Well, given all that, that is why Christianity Today's article calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump is so unfathomable in the words of Franklin Graham. Now, we can all appreciate if there's some real legal basis to impeach the president. But everyone knows that the charges against the president are a pretext, are political. They won't stand up in court. They charged him with obstruction of justice because some of the people in the president's cabinet, when asked, would not testify in the House hearings until a court order was issued. That's not obstructing justice any more than you would be charged with obstructing justice for not volunteering to be a witness at a trial. Then they charge the president with abuse of power, which means the Democrats didn't like the way Trump was using presidential power. And they didn't charge him with what the hearings were all about, quid pro quo. Because if they did, they would have to explain how Joe Biden used quid pro quo against the Ukrainian president. But again, the editor of Christianity Today wrote that the facts in this instance are unambiguous. The president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. That is not only a violation of the Constitution, but more importantly, it is profoundly immoral. So, either the editor of Christianity Today, Mark Galey, is politically uninformed, a guy who has just a one-sided biased view from watching CNN and MSNBC all the time, or ideologically, he's on the left. Now remember, the editorial was not, "Trump did something wrong and the Christian community should be respectful of the impeachment process." The editorial acted as the judge, the jury, the prosecutor. The title again, "Trump should be removed from office." Now, I find the divide between Christians on this subject to be just as relevant, maybe even more relevant than the subject itself. I mean, how could it be that the editor of a premier Christian magazine sees the world so much differently than other evangelicals? Those who side with Christianity Today and Mark Galey believe that evangelical Trump supporters are deceived, that they're unspiritual. Evangelical Trump supporters see the opposite, that Christianity Today and Mark Galey are apostate leftists. Christianity Today writes in a response to all the uproar over the editorial that they have received positive responses. Read responses to Mark Galey's recent editorial have spanned the spectrum. "We have received countless notes of encouragement from readers who are profoundly moved. They no longer feel alone. They have hope again. Many have told us of reading the editorial with tears in their eyes, sharing it with their children who have wandered from the faith, rejoicing that at last someone was articulating what they felt in their hearts. Stay strong," they told us, "knowing that we're about to reap the whirlwind." On the other hand, we have heard from many readers who felt incensed and insulted. These readers felt the editorial engaged in character assassination or maligned a broad swath of our fellow evangelicals, or revealed that we prefer the Democrats to a president who has done a lot of good for causes we all care about, unquote. So how can this be? I mean, don't we have the same Holy Spirit? Did not Paul write that we are to be of the same mind one with another? Aren't we reading the same Bible? Or does this division mean the Bible is so ambiguous that Christians can't get any definitive direction on this question? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 11:19, that there must also be factions or divisions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. And I take from this that these divisions are good, even as the divisions in the Corinthian church had a sanctifying effect. They serve the purpose of separating those who follow the word of God from those who don't. Divisions test and expose our theology and our mindset. And they drive us to the Bible for answers so that Christians can become of one mind. Jesus also said he came not to bring peace, but the sword. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. So expect there to be division, even in the professing church. Now, this doesn't mean we hate our opponents. It simply means we're opposed to false worldviews and false theology. But for true Christians, we should strive for unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I exhort you, brethren, by name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, this is not forced unity or ecumenical sinful compromise unity, but Paul's point is that by everyone conforming and renewing their minds according to the word of God, there will be unity. This is unity around God's truth. Now, at this point, we can go into all the arguments made in the Christianity Today editorial, calling for the impeachment of the president, and then go through all of the refutations of this editorial made by other evangelicals. And we could see who is more biblical. But because of time, we're not going to be able to do that. Maybe in my YouTube version of this program, I can get into that. All I can do now is make some general observations. And the first observation is to consider the source. 1 John 4:1, test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Mark Galley's personal associations lean toward Christian apostasy, or rather, that branch of Christianity that's more about rationalism than biblical revelation, more about intelligence than inspiration. Galley graduated from Fuller Theological Seminary, which is known for its denial of full biblical inspiration. Galley left the Presbyterian Church to become an Episcopalian. And you kind of wonder about someone who attends a church that has yoga classes and flies a rainbow flag. Now, Galley says he's there because he appreciates the liturgy in Anglican tradition, but for most evangelicals, it's that high church liturgy that's a sign of apostasy. The prophet Isaiah condemns that kind of liturgy in Isaiah 29:13. The reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. You see, a theological opinion on one subject usually doesn't take place in a vacuum. If a Christian leader takes a leftist position, either politically or theologically, there's usually a whole resume to explain why. And for new Christians out there, let me explain what is going on here in left-leaning evangelicalism. And really, in all the areas that have appeared in the history of the Christian church, from false movements to cults, it always comes from rationalism over biblical exegesis. False teaching always occurs when professing Christians put their own views about how they think religion ought to be over the Word of God. And it's often the intellectual, academic branch of Christianity that's the first to fall for rationalism. Rather than taking the Word of God at face value, they always have an intellectual excuse. It's always rationalism over the Word of God. That's the pit most second and third generation Christians fall into. And inevitably, the denominations, the organizations, the publishing houses, the mission boards, the charities, that all started on the basis of Christian fundamentalism, eventually become apostate. Because it's the true universal church that stays faithful. The visible church and man's denominations become apostate because the wolves need a job in religion. So it's no surprise to anyone that Christianity today is called Christianity astray. By the way, Mark Galli was already planning to retire from Christianity Today in January, but he decided to leave by getting off of his chest his disdain for the political right. Now, the second observation is the doctrine of civil government itself. In this editorial calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump, there wasn't a single Bible verse or concept mentioned regarding the biblical doctrines of civil government. It was a general accusation against Trump because he is personally immoral, he's a liar, he's a slanderer, gross immorality, ethical incompetence. And you know, anyone can find a verse against those sins. And any Christian who focuses on those verses might despise Trump for his moral failures. But the Bible has so much more to say about the relationship the church has with magistrates than just if they're braggarts, get rid of them. Romans 13, we're to be subject to the governing authorities because they're established by God. And the biblical record is that many pagan kings were used of God to aid God's people. Pharaoh exalting Joseph and saving Jacob's family. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius supporting the Jews in Babylon. Ahasuerus supporting and defending the Jews under Esther. Artaxerxes sending Nehemiah to build the wall around Jerusalem. Jehu, who was an ungodly man, was used of God to stop Baal worship in northern Israel. I can't imagine any of the people of God at that time calling for the downfall or the impeachment of these men, even though they lived questionable personal lives. And of course, the main example is Cyrus, the pagan king who was used of God to issue a decree to the Jews to return from exile. Isaiah 44:28, it is I who say to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desires. And he declares to Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. Well, you think, given the biblical teaching, the emphasis in the Christianity Today editorial would have been, yeah, Trump is a mess, but God seems to be using him to support Israel, the pro-life cause, and religious freedom, but the left hates him because of those positions. And that's why they're looking under every rock to find some pretext upon which to indict him. That seems to be the biblical wisdom in Trump's situation. But what was the emphasis in the Christianity Today editorial? Impeach Trump. So the bottom line is, be biblical. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves, approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Don't let yourself be influenced by the culture, by your rationalism, by your prejudices. Wipe the slate clean and live by and speak the word of God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. And as always, thank you for making God and Country one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, our prayer today is that we would have our minds renewed so that we would not speak error, but be faithful ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.